Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers.
Welcome back. We are the Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Eric Bickle, John Auville. We like to call him Cakes. And join us right now on the Mattress Ross Hotline, our Washington football team insider, Chris Russell. He goes by Rooster.
He does.
What's up, Chris? Boys.
The Rooster was traveling. Rooster went up 95, Jersey Turnpike. Was that the game?
How did you manage to pull that off? How did you manage to get credentials for a road game?
Oh, that's the easy part. I mean, I just have to reach out to my people, and my people delivered. Free parking, which is always nice. Close parking.
Excellent.
Walked right in like the king that I am. And, you know, got I stole about seven or so Diet Pepsis from the New York Giants, so I was good. The only thing, tales of woe from my travel, boys, if you're interested, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So you guys know I'm a native New Yorker. I haven't been back to New York.
What part of New York are you from again?
Eastern Long Island.
Okay. So,
you know, obviously I knew I wasn't going to get to see any of my boys. I wasn't going to, you know, get any real time at home. I wasn't going to be able to get to Manhattan. I was just going back and forth. The one thing I wanted, fat old me, Nathan's French fries.
All right.
Right?
Delicious. Yeah.
That's the one thing I wanted. How many times did the Rooster strike out, stopping specifically at a rest stop for Nathan's with a sign on the Jersey Turnpike? 0-for-3.
Ooh, you stopped
0-for-3
times.
They were closed. Like, please stay open past, like, 9 o'clock at night, please.
Yeah, these places aren't. I traveled to New Jersey recently, and we stopped at 9:30, and nothing was open.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, literally. I thank goodness at the Maryland House last night at I think 10:30, 11 o'clock, or whatever. I got a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Thank goodness that was the only thing open in the entire Maryland House, and that was after two other failed attempts in Jersey to stop at Nathan's.
How long was your trip with all the stops?
Well, I mean, you know, like, I drink a lot of Diet Pepsi, so you gotta, you know, you gotta go to the bathroom, right? And then you see the Nathan's sign, and you're like, oh, Nathan's. And then you're like, oh, crap, why did I do that?
Come on, you can't go to Nathan's anymore. Russell?
I know I can't, but I mean, it's the one time, you know, that I thought I had the opportunity. I mean, I didn't get any Italian food. Normally the Giants have this great spread and, you know, of course everything is just, it's in a box now,
right?
And, you know, everything's COVID protected and all this stuff. So I was just looking for one taste of home. One! And right. I struck out miserably.
I think there's one. I'm trying to look up in the Nathan's locator. It's probably not that close to you, but Winchester, Virginia has a Nathan's.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. That's about probably an hour away.
What's your zip code? Where do you live?
Chantilly. Yeah. So, right. I mean, Winchester. I've never been to Winchester, but I think it's like less than an hour.
Yeah.
But I could probably go
minutes
out there. Yeah. Winchester's got some things.
So,
I guarantee eating Nathan's fries is more fun than watching Washington and the Giants.
Yeah, well, you know, at one point, I, you know, and again, the game got kind of interesting right after I was going to tweet this, but I was like, you know, you guys know I'm a big wrestling guy. You know, MetLife Stadium's the home of, like, WrestleMania two times. I said they should put both of these teams in a Hell in a Cell and just raise it above MetLife Stadium and just suspend it in midair and make us watch just for our enjoyment. You know, like, like that's how bad the script was and parts of the game was. But then it ultimately turned out to be a, I don't know, for me, a fairly entertaining game and obviously a controversial finish. You know, I mean, it wasn't that bad. And I know I haven't heard all of the show this morning, but I heard you guys with Cakes. Well, the other Cakes, we call him Cakes and your Cakes and a lot of Cakes. John Kahn. And you know, like I'm kind of in the middle of this too, like live. And I really feel like we have to evaluate decisions before the play actually happens. I was surprised that Ron did it. I don't have a problem with Ron doing it. I wouldn't have done it if it was Coach Rooster. I would not have done
you
it.
You go to overtime. Correct.
Exactly.
Standard.
I would not have done it. I am chicken. You know what?
Yeah.
But
no. Here's where you would have done it. Possibly. If you're playing the Ravens or you're playing the Chiefs or a team that, you know, you're just not going to stop, you know, you're going to lose. But if you're playing an 0-5 team, you take your chances in overtime, especially when you have a momentum and you're starting to get into a little bit of a rhythm offensively.
Right.
No reason to be afraid of that overtime.
Now,
they
did not do diddly squat except for one 3rd-and-10 conversion over the middle, which drove me crazy.
I hate those.
The Giants on offense in the second half. So to your point, Eric, absolutely. Here's the one thing, and Ron didn't say this, but I'm trying to interpret what he's kind of thinking, is on a coin flip, if you make it to overtime, you lose that coin flip, which you know is just pure chance, right? You have nothing. There's no skill, coaching, whatever. You lose the coin flip, and then for whatever reason, they get a DPI. They get a, you know, somebody slips on that stupid turf. Landon Collins blows a gas, you know, whatever, and you lose, and you don't even get a chance at the ball, right? They score, and the game's over. So I think, and I'll ask Ron this at 10:30 probably when we get a chance to talk to him again. I think he would rather lose with his team failing and controlling the outcome as opposed to someone else controlling the outcome.
You're also, Chris, you're showing no faith in your defense that they can make a stop, cause a turnover.
That's fair.
Force a three and out.
That's fair.
You're right,
Jason.
And then JP's been throwing out the percentages of going for two, and they are what they are across the league. But those percentages are higher for better offenses. Teams that have Kyle Allen and Inman and McKissick and Logan Thomas, they're not as high as they are.
Well, even with the better ones, it's 47%.
But I'm saying, even for those teams, they're not as high as they are for the Packers and the Saints and the Seahawks and the Chiefs and the Ravens.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
a team that
could spread you out in 4 and 5 receiver sets and then still run it because now everybody's spread out and the box is thin. Well, they can't do that. I mean, they were going 4 and 5 wide receiver all day and they still couldn't run the ball. You know, they're trying to thin out.
Well,
they can't do that. And then on top of that, outside of McLaurin, Logan Thomas has been better than I think a lot of people thought he would be, right? Beautiful catch, beautiful footwork, all that. Inman had a couple of big catches on the one big fourth. This game is fascinating to me, as bad as it was and as bad as the end result was. If we think about it, right, the whole Riverboat Ron mantra, and I'll be honest with you guys, like, I didn't watch a ton of Carolina. I mean, I've watched them. I knew he was a gambler. I didn't think he was this big of it. Think about the decision he made earlier in the first half, late in the first half, I should say, where he gets a punt down at the one. This was the question I asked him. Gets a punt down at the one, running into the kicker, so it goes from 4th and 9 at the 45 to 4th and 4 at the 40, and then he goes for it, and they connect. And I'm telling you, I said this on Twitter yesterday. I don't know if people agree with me or not. I don't think he would have went for that if Dwayne Haskins was the quarterback, and I damn sure know if the play developed the way it did with Kyle Allen scrambling to his right and eluding and shoulder dipping a pass rusher who had his hand on him and then completing crossbody to Dontrell Inman for 10, 11 yards or whatever it was, there's no chance that Dwayne Haskins makes that play. And I don't even know if Ron does that if Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback.
Talking to Chris Russell, Washington Football Team Insider. Let's get an update on a couple people. So Sadiq Charles, who they drafted out of LSU to be a left tackle, was playing some guard for like two plays and got hurt. What is the update there?
So we did not ask Ron after the game. Bad job by us. But he's not going to give us anything, and I guarantee you he's not going to give us anything today.
Is there any suspicion, like a torn ACL?
I did not hear that. I don't want to be reckless and comment. Okay. It did not look – he was – absolutely favoring his left knee from what it looked like from a million miles away up in the MetLife press box, and obviously did not return and then was not cleared to return. I don't want to be reckless, but it does not look good is what I would say. If they get away with this being like a Brandon Scherff MCL sprain, I think you should probably consider yourself fortunate.
How do you think Scherff played?
From what I saw without watching the game over again, okay. I didn't really notice him being terrible. I didn't notice him being great by any means, but that's kind of my book on Brandon. Like, I don't get the fascination with Brandon Scherff that I see all these, you know, video bros, you know, doing all this cut-up stuff and, oh, he's so dominant and, oh, he's so great and he's so elite. Get the bleep out of here. He's not. He's fine. He's good. He's solid. He's not great. Consistently, he is not great, and he never has been, period. I mean, he's good. He's not great, and he's not elite, and he's not Zach Martin, and he's not a bunch of other guys, too. There's no chance I would pay him
Rooster,
what he's looking for.
Another guy who falls into that category, and I really hate to put myself on the same side as Dave Gettleman, is Landon Collins, but I agree with him overpaying Landon Collins big money to stay with the Giants because Washington football team has done it, and it's not paying dividends so far.
Everybody thought Dave Gettleman was a dummy, and I remember being on the radio station that day that the deal came around, and I said, A, Washington way overpaid for this guy, and I said, B, Dave Gettleman is going to look pretty good here. And now, I didn't think Landon Collins would be this bad this year, but I'm glad Keim brought it up. I can't call him Cakes. Keim brought it up to you guys earlier today because I screamed about this again on Twitter yesterday live. Landon Collins absolutely cannot double crash on that keeper. I mean, you are the outside contain guy, and Daniel Jones runs. I mean, Daniel Jones had a hole the size of the Lincoln Tunnel because Landon Collins caved and collapsed after the interior defense. They have had such a problem with the read option quarterback pull this year, and I think it's because they're way too over aggressive, you know, trying to bite down on the mesh point. And it's one thing for a defensive end to do it if you think your safety or your corner or your linebacker is going to have outside contain. When both guys do it, and we've seen this with Ryan Anderson against Lamar Jackson, we saw it against Kyler Murray, they suck in that area. Horrible in that area, period.
Now, that being said, Eric and I have kind of been debating the entire show, and Kyle Allen made some nice plays. I thought he played better than Haskins had played all year. All right, made some nice throws, but he did have the critical turnover.
Yep.
All right, that gave them the 7 points, forced them to go back and tie the game instead of go down and possibly win the game with a field goal. What was your overall grade for Allen? I just think that, Allen's going to make some plays. He did last year with Carolina, but he's also just going to give you the ball because that's just what he is.
So Rick Snyder, who writes for thefandc.com and also does some stuff for me on the SI end, gave him an F. I completely
go that far.
I completely and totally disagree with that.
Go that far.
Can I give him more than a C plus because of the killer turnovers? No, I can't. But I will just tell you this, and I talked to Logan Paulson last night on the postgame show, and he was asking, what did you see? Like, first full star? I see a gunslinger. I see a moxie. You know what I see? And this is going to make Washington football fans kind of cringe a little bit. You tell me, guys, if I'm wrong. I see a little Rex Grossman. I see a little sexy Rexy.
More mobile, though. But
yes,
I know what
yes.
you're saying. To me, he's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay. All right. I don't know if he's as smart as Ryan Fitzpatrick because, one dude went to Harvard and one dude went to Texas A&M in Houston. But, I mean, I see some of that gunslinger moxie, like I'm going to kick you in your teeth even if I screw up and even if I go down in a ball of fiery hell. That's what I see in Kyle Allen. I mean, I see it over and over and over again. I agree with, Keim. Again, make a terrible decision to Bradbury, and I know Bradbury's a good corner. I kind of screwed up on that yesterday with you, JP. I kind of forgot about how good he was, even though that was stupid of me. But that wasn't even Bradberry being good. That was just a terrible, terrible decision. But he goes right back from that, and he regathers himself, and he keeps going. And even on that scramble where he outstretches for the first down, they told him, look, dude, don't be a dummy. Don't get yourself hurt. That was reckless last week. And he goes and essentially does the same thing again, and he gets the first down. And it's stuff like that. And then obviously the what we thought would be the game-tying drive, where he's just throwing darts and majestic-looking, you know, fade passes and majestic. As soon as he released that pass to Cam Sims, and that's all the way at the other end of the field for me, guys, I don't see everything. I don't see a lot of things. That one, I said touchdown, while it was just barely out of his hand. It looked perfect. I mean,
He made some good throws. Undeniably, yes. He made some good
throws.
That's
why I want to see a little more.
We got like 30 seconds, Russell. Yep. Mm-hmm. I just looked it up. Last 2 weeks against the Rams and this week, they have a total of 6 quarterback hits. They're not even touching the quarterback, including Chase Young.
That's the biggest disappointment.
Chase Young has 0 quarterback hits.
I think
in the last
Chase.
How can he not have a hit on the forced turnover? I mean, he was right there.
I'm looking at the box score.
I think Chase had. That's what I was going to say on the Kendall Fuller one. And then they did have a hit on a Daniel Jones third down incompletion after that 3rd and 10 that drove me crazy in the fourth quarter. They did have a hit on that, but yeah, I mean, outside of that, and Kerrigan obviously forces a field goal on the first drive. There's just not enough. I mean, they are missing Matt Ioannidis, absolutely, and they're also, you know what, they're also not able to blitz their linebackers and their safeties as much, A, because they overrun everything and they overpursue everything, B, because they're so leaky on the back end that I think Del Rio is a little bit afraid to kind of gamble from the back 7.
Man, they've got to start taking more chances.
They're very
blitzing.
Vanilla.
They got to.
Yeah.
If you can't get to Dalton with your front 4, you got to blitz that MO.
I know we got to go, but I mean, the coaching as a whole, I think it's been mediocre. It's been just as bad as the play on the field.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. I mean, if anybody's telling you it's been great, I would just leave you guys with this. Again, going back, circling the wagons back with Rivera, I'm willing to live with a little bit of an aggressive gunslinger mentality and lose and go down, and again, in a fiery ball of hell. I'm willing to do that rather than lose and suck and be conservative and bland and vanilla and boring.
Right. Yeah. Well, look, and it's not that uncommon. The Dolphins did it last year against the Washington football team. Thank you, Rooster.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. But it's trending towards another abysmal year. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I just checked. If they win 4 games this year, that'll be the 4th time in the last 8 seasons they've gone 4-12 or worse.
It's what we're used to.
It's hard to be that bad.
It's like, well, if you're
you know what you'll do? And you know what you do if you draft a rookie quarterback? You're going to win 4 games again next year, too.
Could be.
Well, that's true. You might. But it's maybe in that third
rookie's
year,
rookie's not going to come in and just be silly.
Based on their history, you're right. But
yeah.
Would you like to have Burrow right now?
Yes.
Or Herbert?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course you would.
All right, got to take a break. If you want to chime in on the AAA, always on call. Listener lines, 800-636-1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Football Monday on the Sports Junkies is driven by your local D.C. area Acura dealers.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You know, we joked about this on Thursday or Friday, that whoever was going to be calling the Giants-Washington football team game was considered the lowest team. I actually liked them. Adam Amin, Mark Schareff, Lindsay Zarniak.
Well, we love Lindsay.
Yeah, Lindsay's so cool.
I think Amin is solid, and I like Schareff.
Yeah, I didn't notice any problems. They weren't annoying.
I like them better than some of the other teams. So I don't know how, you know, clearly at Fox, the number one team is, you know, includes Troy Aikman.
Mm-hmm.
And on CBS, it's Joe Buck and Tony Romo. So we know who the top teams are.
It's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
Sorry.
Buck and Aikman.
Yeah, Buck and Aikman, Nantz and Romo. So we know the top teams, but usually, you know, when you have a game like this, it's got, like, the worst team. I thought the guys were good.
They were fine.
Yeah, they're fine. Totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, better than Stockton at this point.
And
then I did to happen, like, on Red Zone. I just kept thinking about what you said because I didn't watch it, or Valdez mentioned it, with Greg Gumbel. Greg Gumbel calling Lamar Jackson Lamar Murray over and over.
Three different times, right?
Right. That I just, you know, I'm, like, looking for those just catastrophic mistakes. And I just didn't hear him.
I got to tell you, man, so every Sunday, especially when there's 9 1 o'clock games, I'm sitting at my kitchen, like my little bar area.
Is that where you sit?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the little counter that overlooks the living room, and I got the TV, you know, 30 feet away, and I'm going back and forth from Fox to 702, which is the DirecTV all-access channel with all of the boxes of the games.
Yep.
And then I've got my computer up,
right?
Because I'm looking at box scores and I got all my fantasy scores up there. I mean, like, literally, it's stressful.
It's got a war room. Overload.
I mean, there's so much going
on.
Too
much
on a Sunday when I'm looking at all this stuff. My wife's trying to talk to me. I don't even hear a word she says. I mean, I got the dog.
Does she yell at you when you don't listen?
Nah, she leaves me alone. She knows. But there's just so much going on. Like with you, Bickle, you probably, and I know you have social media up. But you're only watching the one game for the most part.
Well, that's not really true because I'm throwing cash on all these games.
Okay, now maybe. But in years past, you would just watch the one game. I'm trying to watch 9 different games, 9 different box scores, 5 different fantasy leagues. I mean, it's too much.
Why aren't they spreading out the schedule?
It
makes no sense to have 9 1 o'clock kicks
and
2 4 o'clocks. And one of the 4 o'clock kicks is the stupid New York Jets. That nobody wants to watch. Nobody wants to consume that product.
But Jason, do you prefer, now it's DirecTV, do you prefer seeing the boxes of all the games? Or just, I would just go back and forth with Red Zone. Because Red Zone, they do such a good job just keeping you up to date.
Yeah, I know, but
and they'll give you the plays that you miss.
I know, but they go to, they only flash into the game if that team is, if someone's in the Red Zone.
Well, why do you want to see them when they're on the 20-yard line?
Well, because other stuff happens. I mean, you
want to see how like a drive develops and stuff like that.
They do that on Red Zone. They'll tell you how the drive develops.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
Yeah, but you just want to see it as it happens.
Okay, I'm just curious. I would rather watch the Red Zone because sometimes it is information overload.
Yeah, but when you have all of the boxes up, you can see if you know there's a team driving, if they're on the 40. I don't know. That's just my preference.
Right.
Hey, Jason.
But my point is there's just so much going on Sundays.
Jason, how did T's colonoscopy go? Went fine? She got through it? All good?
She got through it, but Thursday and Friday morning were bad for her. She just didn't feel good. She didn't handle it well. It took her forever to get that prep solution down.
Right. So I got to have my last supper tonight, right? And
what time is your procedure?
My appointment is Wednesday morning, right?
What time?
So I won't be on the show on Wednesday. But here's my question for you. They say you start at 8 a.m. Tuesday, right? And then you do all the prep and you eat all the terrible stuff, drink all the terrible stuff.
Right.
Can I load up and have a massive breakfast at 6 a.m.? Just to give me, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You're supposed to start at 8.
Why not?
Well, so that would be outside 24 hours before your procedure.
Yeah. Wouldn't I want to just load up on food to make sure I have a good meal in me?
I would talk to your doctor to see if that's, you know, if they approve of that, but I don't know. I mean, if you're really hungry at that time.
Because I just think I'm going to die from no food for a day. I think I literally will die.
It's hard.
Yeah. Hey, EB, you're such a body language guy, particularly with Dwayne Haskins. Was he okay standing on the sideline
yesterday? Actually didn't notice him standing on the side. I
think they only flashed him once or twice.
Yeah, I didn't notice him. Whatever. No, I mean, it's not just Dwayne. I mean, there are a lot of guys I think they are bad body language guys. I have no idea how he was yesterday.
Eric, getting back to the colonoscopy, here's the problem.
Yeah.
So let's just say your procedure's at 10 in the morning. I don't know what
that's
time.
That's basically when it is.
All right, so 10. So for 4 hours before that, you can't have a thing. You can't have a drop of water.
Not
so
even water.
From 6 to 10, you can't have anything.
Is that true?
You're not supposed to drink anything 4 hours before the procedure. And then 6 hours before the procedure, I think you take your last solution.
Yeah.
So you've got to get up at 4 a.m., take that, and from 4 to like 7 or 8, you're just going to be on the toilet.
On the John.
Yep.
Yeah. That's – I'm
Wednesday's going to be awful for
you. He's probably looking forward to that part.
I'm actually okay with it. I think I'll be okay. I had a friend who said that when she had hers, she's had a couple deuces that went the first time, and then she did it later, a couple deuces, and then she was, you know, it wasn't a horrific day.
Look, certain people react differently, but knowing you, I know you. You're going to have a bad experience with the solution.
Real quick, let's go to Rob in Warrington. Wanted to chime in on the Washington football team. What's up, Rob?
Rob, are you there, buddy? That's online.
He just
dropped. I don't even know. Oh, he just dropped.
All right, look, let's take a break then. Mark Teixeira is going to join us. So last night, the Dodgers came back to win Game 7. They've advanced to the World Series. They'll take on the Rays, who held on to beat the Astros. So the World Series is set. We'll talk to Mark Teixeira next about that here on the Junkies.
All right, guys. Thompson Creek Windows can lower your utilities, improve your home's value, and save you 40%. Thompson Creek does it all, fellas. They design, build, and install replacement windows so you won't pay the middleman markup. Buy one window, get one 40% off during their September savings event. That includes expert installation and incredible finance options. And Thompson Creek has you covered with their amazing no-hassle warranty. Visit thompsoncreek.com for details. You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call 855-57-CREEK today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
But in the end, you know, most people think they're the best team in baseball. They came back to win this series. What'd you make of the comeback?
Well, I saw a Dodgers team that even when they were down 3-1, they looked confident. And when you have that type of talent, when you have a roster that up and down have MVP candidates, and you look at a pitching staff that just throws arm after arm at you, there's a reason that they were confident. And, you know, the Braves, they had their chances, but they just couldn't match up man-to-man against the Dodgers, and the Dodgers proved why they're the best team in baseball from the beginning of the year until now.
So talk about the play of a couple different guys. One, Corey Seager, and his bat was just on fire for the entire series. And then Mookie Betts and some of the plays he made. You know, he's obviously a threat at leadoff to get on base and hit bombs, and he's just so good with the bat. But his glove was just awesome, made huge plays, robbing the Atlanta a couple different times, Freeman last night. So talk about those two guys. I mean, what kind of zone is Seager in right now?
first of all, Corey Seager is one of the great talents in Major League Baseball, but the reason we haven't been talking about him for the last few years is because of injuries. Yep. And being a guy that has had those injuries, when he came back this season and started just hitting lasers all over the field and showing that power, showing that he was healthy at shortstop, you were like, oh, I remember him. You're the guy that I expected Corey Seager to have an MVP by now. And he might have had an MVP in his trophy case if not for the injuries. But that's the kind of talent he has. And then you switch to another MVP, a guy who's won one in the American League, and Mookie Betts. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable what he does in the field. And you got to forget about how great he is as a hitter because of what he's proven with his glove this postseason. Mm-hmm. And you almost just look forward to watching him play right field more than at the plate. But we know how deadly he is with the bat. His glove might have saved the series for the Dodgers in Game 6 and Game 7. And he makes a web jam every single night. So it's like, oh, ho-hum. So there's another great play by Mookie Betts, and just can't wait for the next one.
So talk about the base-running blunder last night. After the Braves got the lead in the fourth, they had men on second and third, runners on second and third. I don't believe there was anybody out. And then they just ran into that double play. It was Riley and Swanson. Talk about that play. They could have scored two or three runs that inning if things went right. Could have been the difference. Did you see it that way?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, the Braves are going to look back at, not a big strikeout or not an error in the field where you boot a ball, but you're going to look back to a base running mistake as what could have cost you a chance in the World Series. And that's unfortunate because the Braves had a great season. They're a really talented team. But on that play, Dansby Swanson was going contact, which I don't necessarily think that the Braves should have been going contact there. But the reason they did that was, you might be able to steal a run, but if not, at worst, at very least, you have men on first and third. The problem is Austin Riley completely botched the run down at second base and went back to second rather than just continuing on to third base. If he just continues on to third base, the Braves have men on first and third with one out. Instead, they have two outs. It's an ugly double play. They get out of the inning, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Getting back to the Rays here, first of all, I don't know if you pay attention, but the Dodgers are significant favorites for the series. They're 2-1 favorites. Tampa's plus 160. So they're the clear overwhelming favorites. But Tampa, 28th payroll in the league, 28th in terms
awesome.
Of payroll ranking, 28th
incredible.
In the league. The only team to reach the World Series since 98 with a lower ranking, the Rays in 2008. I mean, it's unbelievable what they do with just average players. And this kid, Randy Arozarena, is so good. I heard him; he was compared to like Andrew McCutchen. I can see that. And then, of course, they've got really good pitching, starting pitching. So talk about the series and the matchup, especially with the starting pitching for Tampa.
Well, the Rays are a really good team, but I think more importantly, they're a great organization that has run with a shoestring payroll for a really long time. And the reason they're able to do that is they draft really well. They develop their young arms in the minor leagues. And then whenever they have a player that gets good and gets expensive, whether it's through arbitration or gets to his free agent years, they trade him and get a bunch of really good prospects in return. So they've been able to just kind of churn that model over and over and over again, since their World Series in 2008, and it works. And it's something that you got to give their front office a ton of credit. You have to give their manager Kevin Cash a ton of credit. But let's not forget, I do understand that the Dodgers are favorites, and there's a reason they're favorites. So their roster is a better roster, but the Rays have a ton of great talent on that team. And if you can get a little bit of support for their pitching staff, the Rays have a chance to win this series because their pitching can match up with the Dodgers. Their lineup cannot right now, but stranger things have happened in a 7-game series.
Talking to Mark Teixeira, former World Series champ, 3-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glover, finished his career with 409 home runs. I wanted to ask you a personal question because I grew up in Bowie. Three of us grew up in Bowie, Maryland. I think you grew up in Severna Park, and I had three posters in my room. One of them was Eddie Murray. You became a switch hitter, and I'm just curious, did you become a switch hitter because of Eddie Murray?
I absolutely did. I grew up going to Orioles games with my dad, and mm-hmm. the Coward and Eddie Murray years were a lot of fun for me. I was only 3 years old when the Orioles won in '83, so I didn't really remember that one. But you know, going to Old Memorial Stadium and watching Eddie Murray hit home runs from both sides of the plate. I went out in the backyard with the wiffle ball bat at 5 or 6 years old and started hitting left-handed and said, "Hey, I'm Eddie Murray." And you know, me and my buddies and cousins or whatever would come over and we'd play wiffle ball, and I would always hit left-handed for Eddie Murray. And it just kind of so happened that I grew up in Baltimore and was a first baseman and loved Eddie Murray as a switch hitter. So it's kind of one of those cool things that I get to go back and tell that story to, you know, to whether it's, you know, media members or buddies, that they always ask, why did you become a switch hitter? And it's because I grew up watching Eddie.
Why don't more guys do that?
Because it's really hard. Yeah. Playing baseball, hitting a baseball, it's the hardest thing in sports.
Right.
I watch these games and watch these pitchers throwing 100 miles an hour with 90 mile an hour wipeout sliders. I don't know how anyone gets a hit anymore. That's how good these pitchers are nowadays, and so it's hard enough just to hit one way. To be a switch hitter, you almost have to be a glutton for punishment to have to try to keep two swings right. But you know, I think baseball was a little different when I came up. Now with the advent of the cutter, you have guys throwing 95 mile an hour cutters. Thank you, Mariano Rivera, for that one. Mm-hmm. And then a changeup, it kind of neutralizes being a switch hitter. So what might have been a really big advantage 10 or 15 years ago isn't much of an advantage at all anymore because of the cutter-changeup combo that these pitchers have. Then you add the shift in. I don't know why anyone would want to be a left-handed hitter because you know, you're hitting line drives to right field and the second baseman standing in right field and you're out.
Right.
So being a left-handed hitter doesn't give you much of an advantage anymore.
Hey, Mark, just curious, did you keep stats for your wiffle ball years? Because one of the guys on the show did. I think he dominated the Lanham wiffle ball
267 league. Homers in 1981.
Yeah. I can rattle off those stats quick.
You know what? I tell young kids that wiffle ball is what allows me to become a great hitter. And people might say, well, Mark, that sounds insane. But think about how hard it is to hit a wiffle ball in the wind. And you have that thin yellow bat. You go out in your backyard, and guys are throwing your buddy or your dad or whoever's throwing you as hard as they can. The ball's moving everywhere. I really think I learned how to hit a baseball because I grew up playing wiffle ball, and I wish more kids did it.
All right, so I got to talk to you about the Dodgers again. There's a lot of pressure on the Dodgers, as you know. All right, so they haven't won a series since '88 when we were seniors in high school.
Hmm.
I know you're younger than us, but we were seniors in high school when Gibson hit that bomb off of Eck. That's a long time ago, Mark, and obviously they've been to – this is the third World Series for L.A. in the last 4 years. They lose in Game 7 to Houston. They really had no shot against Boston. Boston was just much better. We know what happened last year against the Nats. There's a lot of pressure on two guys, Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw, all right, because we know Kershaw's numbers in the postseason. He's just not the same as he is in the regular season. So talk about that. How much pressure is on those two guys in particular?
You are absolutely right. I mean, Dave Roberts and Clayton Kershaw are two of the nicest guys in all of pro baseball. And so they're guys that you root for. They're easy to root for. But unfortunately, they haven't been able to get it done in October the last few years. And Clayton Kershaw is a guy who's always been the horse for the Dodgers. In my mind, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer with what, you know, what type of career he's put together. But if the Dodgers don't win a World Series this year, it's going to be here we go again. Clayton Kershaw can't get it done. And then Dave Roberts, here we go again. He's not pushing the right buttons. I don't think that's fair. I think if you look at what the Nats did last year in the World Series, players win championships. I mean, the Nats won last year because they had Strasburg and Scherzer, and they had Rendon, and they had
Soto.
Oh, gosh, Soto. I'm sorry. It's been a long morning. Yep. You know, so when you have Soto and Rendon as your 3-4 hitters, when you have Strasburg and Scherzer throwing the ball out there, players win championships. And so I think it's a little bit unfair that what criticism Dave Roberts has been given. But Clayton Kershaw really needs this World Series for his legacy, because if he pitches well, he doesn't have to throw shutouts. He just needs to pitch well. And if the Dodgers win a World Series, all of the demons will be exercised.
Well, Mark, man, you're joining us because it's in honor of Men's Health Awareness Month. The Depend brand is partnering with Mark and the Prostate Cancer Foundation to raise awareness and celebrate the strength of men taking charge of their health. 1 in 9 men actually are diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Yeah, this is a really important thing for men's health, and so I'm really proud to partner with Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation. You know, incontinence is unfortunately the leading side effect of prostate cancer caused by the treatment. And so, you know, I want to, you know, partner with Depend and destigmatize that issue and make sure that the guys know that people are in it together. Like you said, 1 in 9 men are going to be diagnosed. So everyone's in the same boat here. And the Stand Strong for Men's Health initiative that Depend and the Prostate Cancer Foundation are putting together is just a great thing. And Depend is going to give $1 for every purchase of Depend Shields and Guards this month or next month in November. Depend is going to donate $1 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation, up to $200,000. So raising money for a great organization and hopefully helping a lot of men.
Mark, man, really appreciate the time. You're a good dude. And I like you even more because you like my guy, Eddie Murray. I'm an all-time fave.
Eddie.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, appreciate man. It, buddy.
That's a high-profile Marylander right there. Mark
Big time.
Teixeira.
Dude, he Absolutely. Has over 400 career home runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
He's a really good player. A ton.
He had slightly better success.
So rich.
Because of Eddie Murray, I switch hit in high school. I think right. I had 4 hits as a lefty.
That's pretty good. Well,
he had 409.
You know,
haters in the
long
big leagues.
Money. When you live in Greenwich, Connecticut, you got long money.
Oh yeah,
you got money long like the train smoke.
What did he make, about 150 off one deal, something like that? He got one.
I bet he's got a fat place in Florida too.
I'm sure
probably.
He does.
Probably. We could just covet now. That's all we want to do is just covet.
It's what we're
rich.
Good at. It's one of the few things we're really good at, coveting.
That's
what
right.
others have.
We're not good
Jason,
at much.
Where are you putting your money on? You're going to put them on the favorites, the Dodgers, or are you going to go with the Rays?
I think the Dodgers are going to win, but I don't want to lay 2-1. You know what I mean?
What do you like tonight, though, for football? That's what people want to
like
know.
I like the Bills, Cards, and a tease.
Bills, Cards, first game picks in like 7 hours.
So isn't that awesome? We haven't even talked about that.
5 o'clock game.
It's awesome.
All right, we got to get out of here for Bish, Cake, CB, up JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny next, right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.